Yeah, you might notice those vocals. They're fairly noticeable. Live on the Drew Marshall Show is devoted solely to the art of music. This week's live recording artist is Allegra Jordan, J-O-R-D-Y-N. AllegraJordan.com. Canadian singer, songwriter, musician who released her debut EP, Possibilities, just this last November. And this album showcases her songwriting talents, the five tracks, all solo written about her personal experiences putting up with her father. No, I'm just kidding. He's in the house, so I thought I'd pick on him. Including first loves and heartbreaks. Ooh. Self-confidence and determination to pursue what she loves most. At the age of 17, Allegra has the ability to draw you into her world and let you feel her passion. And I think the thing that she might be getting sick of is people going, oh, you're only 17?
Yeah.
Do people, and they sound like that too, don't they?
Yeah, pretty much.
Welcome to the show, Allegra. You're only 17?
Yes, yes. Thank you for having me.
What is the downside of being only 17?
Just, I guess, people underestimating you, thinking that you're just not, like, you haven't gone through a lot of the experiences that you have to write songs. And I don't know, I guess, like, I still feel all of the emotions that anyone does, whether you're 30 or whether you're 17. So I guess that I, just people underestimating me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that can play into your favor sometimes too.
Sometimes it helps with good songs.
It does. It did. We were talking earlier about the other young girl who has performed on the show, Avery Raquel.
Yes.
And she has said that she enjoys it when people underestimate her, because then she steps up and blows them away.
Yeah, it sometimes can be good because it kind of sets a lower expectation, and then you can just get up there and like blow them away, and
that,
it works.
That's been the theme for my show.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, no, just the first part, lower expectations. Who's the most musically influential person in your life? I don't know why I'm talking like that.
In my life, like personally that I know, probably my dad, who's here. I know, and he's looking at me and filming me right now. He's a lot of the reason why I started learning guitar, and he's introduced me to a lot of musicians that I listen to now.
Yeah.
So, I mean, he can't sing, but luckily I can, and I can use his influences in like music to help me with my music.
How much of who you are musically is, do you think, genetic, and how much of it is you have just done the hard work and learned?
Oh, definitely not genetic.
Really?
No.
You most just of threw your dad under the bus twice.
No, my dad can play guitar.
Yeah.
He can.
Yeah.
But a lot of my family is tone deaf.
They're really tone deaf?
Really tone deaf. I can't go to concerts with any of them. no, I don't know. It's just like music isn't
so you're
something
an anomaly.
That runs in my music isn't something that like runs in my family, musical talent. So I got lucky, and you know, I just keep working hard at it. And so it's a little bit of combination of just it happened to be me. I happened to get the talent, and then I just keep working towards it.
Have you had vocal training?
Yes, I do.
Oh, well, okay, you just said yes. Do you have a weird accent or something?
No, I really don't.
Other people said you sound like you're enunciating things.
I have no idea.
Nobody else has pointed out the vocal things that I just did. No. Okay, I'm going to stop talking now. It's like you have a little Kiwi thing happening, a little New Zealander. Never mind. Okay. Let's talk about your heart.
Yes.
'Cause,
what about it?
Well, have you, you've written a love song?
Yes, I have.
Or two?
Love songs, breakup songs.
You've written. Wow.
Written.
I'm in radio, kids. You've written breakup songs?
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
Failed relationship songs? Yeah.
Really? But you're only 17. Yeah. Nah. Okay. What, how do you categorize your own music?
That's like the worst question that anybody ever asked me. I hate this question.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's contemporary singer-songwriter music, some folk influences. I have classic rock influences. Any just great storytellers, of writers, Bob Dylan, John Lennon, Joni Mitchell, Stevie Nicks, any of them.
I don't know any of those people.
Oh, really? they're some of the people that influence like how I shape my sound. So it's just this contemporary singer-songwriter folk rock kind of style with just like some modern pop influences too.
What do you think is the best lyrical hook you've ever written? A little catchy thing that after you wrote it, you went, yep, that's good.
So the most catchy one is in Don't Hold Me Down, the single off this one. It's just like, down. It's just like a little melody. And I sometimes get to school and my friends are like singing that little hook. And I'm just like,
that's cool.
Yeah. I have so many friends that are just, as soon as like anything gets brought up about my music, they all just start singing that hook. I'm like, that's just, it's not even one of my favorite songs I've written. I love it. I love it so much. Yeah. But it's just that hook that's like sticks in people's brains.
Yeah. You never know what.
It was a good single.
So. Yeah. And you never know what people are going to ingest or how they're going to ingest it, right?
Yeah.
Your job is to simply kind of put it out there and, you know, wherever the chips fall kind of thing. Yeah. All right. We talked earlier about this guitar that you have in your hands, which you're going to play in a little bit.
Yes.
Little Baby Taylor, which is a beautiful guitar. But guitar is not your first instrument.
No.
Bagpipes are, is that right?
Yeah, definitely. No, I started learning piano when I was 6 years old. So that was like my main instrument before I even started singing. I just started learning that, learning the theory behind that. And then I got really into singing, and then I started picking up guitar to play. So I have another instrument to accompany my singing. So, yeah, I'm not very good at guitar.
Do you feel okay? Do you feel nervous about playing guitar?
Honestly, now that I've like written all of most of the songs that I wrote on the EP were written on my guitar, other than I think one.
Oh.
So I actually feel more confident playing these songs on guitar. But playing like covers or any of my old songs, I'm definitely more comfortable on the piano.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just these specific songs that I think it's easier for me to play it on guitar.
What's the one instrument that you would love to play that you don't right now?
I actually got asked this question like a few days ago in a group chat. This is like really random. But I don't know. I really wish that I could play like string instruments. Which is
you
so
do.
Random. Not like guitar, like cello or like violin
oh, like
or something.
Classical stuff.
Yeah, because I feel like they add such like a cool, warm sound
Dude,
to things.
Dude, if you could
like,
pull off playing a cello with your vocals,
yeah, like,
you
I
would
feel like
sell
would
out
be,
everywhere.
I feel like playing like upright bass or cello or violin or something
yeah.
like that would be
yeah.
so cool because it's so complicated and like,
yeah.
it's just, I say string instruments because any instruments that are like saxophone, like
it's hard to sing
any,
and
like,
play saxophone
anything that, no but any of yeah that's true but any of those like I tried playing clarinet for 2 weeks in school when I was like 12 years old
yeah.
and I couldn't get
horrible.
A sound out of it
really all right let's do a song what are we doing
let's do Don't Hold Me Down I just sang the little hook
love
yeah.
it
we'll
love
get
it
there. Get it in everybody else's heads
do you want to set it up and what's it about what's it, how did you come up with it what did you write were you I don't know set it up
this song was mainly just written about anybody who tries to hold me back from pursuing music anybody who's ever tried to change what I want to do or stop me from pursuing what I love and so I wrote them a little message
so this is a step off song
It's an empowerment song,
oh,
inspiring.
Okay.
All
right. All right. Beautiful. Live on the Drew Marshall Show, Allegra Jordan.
Understanding is the hardest part. I know you're waiting for a different life to start. But I would rather take my chances and lose and not expect any forgiveness from you. Stop clowning my vision. Stop changing my direction. Stop trying to choose my passion for me. Under all things alive.
Allegra Jordan. Well done, kiddo. Well done.
You're only 17 years old.
Yes, thank
That's
you.
Ridiculous. How is that the hook that your friends can... There's no way I could trace those notes. That's an insane...
It's just the da part. Like, just that part. It's just the one word.
Right, so they're not...
Not the whole chorus. It's just that one word that, like, everybody just sings all the time.
Really?
Yeah. The song opens with it, ends with it. It's just
What's
everywhere.
That called? Is it's not scaling. What's it called when you're doing that?
Riffs, runs.
Yeah, riffs, runs. Okay. Riffs, runs. Wasn't that a rap group? Oh, no, it's Run DMC. Never mind. Riff DMC. I am gangster, yes. Brat. Live in the studio with Allegra Jordan. Allegra Jordan is only 17 years old. Her website is Allegra. There's only one way to spell that, isn't there?
Yeah. Well, some people spell with one L, but...
Weirdos.
That's weird.
Allegra. Wait, isn't that an allergy medication, too? Isn't it?
Yes.
It is. Okay. Allegra Jordan, who now has a corporate sponsorship, jordyn.com. How do people go see you? Do you have a gig coming up?
I have a show tonight.
You do?
Yes.
Where?
It's at the Royal Conservatory with
seriously?
through the Songwriters Association of Canada, who are running an event called Songbird North. It's planned by Blair Packham, and it features me and I think three other very talented songwriters who will be performing our music.
Great.
So thank you to Blair Packham for that opportunity.
Such a good guy he is. We had a great time with him in the studio he was on last year. And yeah, I like him a lot. He's a good songwriter. He really is.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this is the Royal Conservatory.
Yes.
Speaking of fancy gigs and fancy places, let's talk about the place in the States in Massachusetts that you went to. What's that called? Wasn't
Berklee
it?
Berklee College of Music.
Berklee College of Music. That's kind of hoity-toity.
That is my home for the next 4 years, so.
You're there.
I'm there.
Man, your dad must be broke.
I can thank Berklee College of Music for the scholarship.
Oh, nice. Nice. That's great.
Yes.
I have some friends that I've known who've gone through that whole thing. And then I knew a guy who was artist in residency, I think is what you call it. So there's a singer-songwriter named James Taylor.
Yes.
So his brother was...
Livingston Taylor.
You know Livingston Taylor?
I saw him perform last summer at Berklee.
Shut up!
I saw him perform, at the Berklee Performance Center last year.
What did you think?
He's amazing. He did, they have these, like, lecture seminar things with, like, they're different. There's music business ones, songwriting ones. I think it was a songwriting, like, lecture that he ran, and so I saw him play a little bit and talk. So, yeah, I've seen him.
I mean, he's actually probably the most technically talented in the family. You know, James is the most popular. He's got those brilliant hammer-on and pull-offs on the guitar. Yeah. But Livingston, I mean, he's a bit of a musical freak show. He was a guest on the show, man, when I first started, like 15, 16 years ago.
That's awesome.
Interesting cat. Yeah. Let's do another song, Allegra. What are you doing?
Yes. Going to slow it down a little bit with the next song.
Take it down a little bit.
Yes. The song is called This Love.
Okay.
Also on the EP.
All right.
So, yeah.
And, just before she starts, I want to let everyone know we are streaming live on our Facebook page. Go to @TheDrewMarshall, and you will see Allegra Jordan performing live in studio on The Drew Marshall Show.
Myself is
But I was tongue-tied, I was sold in my breath. Couldn't get the words out of my mouth just yet. But I'll get over it. Oh, I'll never forget this love.
Allegra Jordan with another killer tune. Well done, kid. Well done.
Thank you.
Well done. The interns are all of a sudden awake. Usually they sleep the entire show, so you must be doing something right. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay, you know, the comparison thing is weird, and every time I do comparisons, I start off by saying comparisons are weird, and usually I shouldn't do them, but I'm going to do it anyway. I hear, like, if, this is going to sound weird, if Beyonce and Joni Mitchell had a kid, first of all, it'd be a biological miracle, unless there was some other things. Anyway, yeah, I just hear both of those influences. Do you have, okay, so who are the biggest, like, aside from the ones you listed earlier, like, you must have some female, strong female vocalists that you resonate with who are out there today, because you do have, I know you don't want to be painted into a corner as far as a style goes.
Yeah, yeah.
But you do have great riff control.
Thank you.
No, but we've all heard the sloppy ones, right?
Yeah.
And you just go, whoa, what? Pick a note, please.
Yeah.
What are you, who's out there that you just, that can riff like that, that you would really admire?
That's hard. That's really hard. I've actually always admired Sia for her vocals.
Okay.
Just the vocals and, like, the songwriting, the pop songwriting kind of thing.
Yeah.
Like, I love her.
Yeah.
Demi Lovato, very strong voice.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, yeah, I don't even know. Ariana Grande, very strong voice. Anyone with a really strong voice, it's like, I just admire their abilities.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Is Megan Trainor still doing her thing? Is she still, like,
or
was it all about the bass?
I haven't heard of her in
a while,
but she's very good
in
songwriting, too. Yeah. And she started as a songwriter.
Right,
yeah,
right.
In Nashville. And at Berkeley in the summer program.
Tell me about the time you were on stage and you got inside. You were just like, this is so freaking awesome.
There's been so many times.
Really?
The one time that stands out that wasn't even on a stage, I was at an overnight camp.
I was just going to say.
Yes.
Because you started off by saying this one time.
Yeah, at band camp. No, it wasn't. It was at an overnight camp, and I actually had left and then came back for some later part in the summer because I missed it so much. I was camp sick.
Okay.
And it was like I hadn't really started singing then. I had never taken coaching or anything, and earlier in the summer we had done a play and my solo was Hallelujah. And so I came back and they were all like, please sing it. And so in the dining hall in front of everybody, I sang it. And it was like midway through that I was like, wow, I really like to sing. And then everybody, there's like the whole room,
they
gave me a standing
minds.
Ovation after. And like, I still watch the video and I'm like, that's so weird.
That's
so like, that was like when I started thinking like, this is what I want to do.
Is that video public? Is it on the YouTube?
It's on YouTube. I don't know if it's public. It's on his YouTube account, not mine. I'll post it one day on my own account.
Yeah.
Yes, I will post it one day. But it's definitely on YouTube.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's unlisted or private or public.
Huh.
We'll get it up there.
So what? Well, hold on. I got to tell everyone about. Wait, can they go to this Royal Conservatory gig, or is that a private thing?
They're on the Royal Conservatory or the Songwriters Association website, I believe.
Right.
Under events, you can see the event for tonight, and
there
are tickets, but I have no idea if they're sold out or not.
Do you have another gig coming up that you can tell us about?
I don't really have any other gigs, but in the summer I'm going to be doing a lot of busking at the Distillery District.
Yeah, I heard about that. Yes. Congrats.
I have, I'll be posting on social media closer to the summer.
Totally outside all the time?
All of the dates for busking at the Distillery. Okay. And I'm doing some shows at Nathan Phillips Square also. So I'll be posting all of the dates for that on social media.
Good for
if
you.
If anyone wants to look out for that.
Yeah, yeah.
Come visit me.
Do you have any, like, let's just have a little bit of fun here.
Okay? Yes.
Let's dream.
Okay.
Close your eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And think about you being on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And you've made it. All right? Whatever that means, you've made it. What's happening? Where are you? How do you feel?
That's hard. This is so random, but I always say every time I'm watching the Super Bowl halftime show, I'm like, I want to do that one
day.
And so, like, when I'm thinking, like, making it, it's like, making it is just like me being happy with my music and stuff, like me putting out music that I'm happy with and people being able to hear it and be inspired by it and whatever. But then, like, when I really think of something that I want to do, just like random, beyond, like, out of this world dream, just like something that just seems so unattainable right now, it's like, I want a halftime at the Super Bowl.
I want the halftime at Super Bowl. I love that.
The halftime at Super Bowl.
I love it. Good for you.
Yes.
Good for you. This is.
I will
this
be Beyonce, Lady Gaga.
This is begging
Ooh,
for.
That's another good vocalist, what? Lady Gaga.
Oh,
didn't
yeah.
Think of that one.
Can I just tell you, that was an amazing movie, but that song has been the most overplayed song I've heard. I know it's a great song, but holy overplayed, Batman.
My school choir is like working on.
Oh,
are
they?
Doing a little medley of like of songs from movies, and so we've put that in there. So.
Right. What about The Simpsons?
No. No, we've got some stuff from like The Greatest Showman and La La Land and like those kinds, like the bigger ones that were on the radio from those songs.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, that was a great movie.
Let's do another song.
Yes.
What are we going to do?
Let's do Possibilities. It's a title track.
See? Nice segue.
Yes.
Could be the Super Bowl halftime.
Yes.
What's this song about, though?
This was actually the first one I wrote for the EP, so it was kind of like, I wrote the song and I was like, you know what? I'm going to turn this into an EP. And so I just kind of, all the songs came from there. And it was sort of just about, honestly, I kind of wrote it about my songwriting process, which you wouldn't really tell by listening to it. I was sort of just like writing so many songs that I wasn't really happy with. And I was like concentrating way too hard on like making something perfect. And I was like, you know what? If you just stop overthinking and stop trying to follow like a path, you know, it's like you have a destination, but it's like you're not always going to get there in a straight line. You're going to kind of go around and around and like eventually you'll get there. So it's kind of like I was just sitting there writing it. And then it turned into like, it's like partially a song about dreams, you know, partially about my writing, partially about love, I guess. It can be anything.
Oreo cookies.
It's open to possibilities.
Yes.
Interpretation.
Love it.
Interpret it. Create your own possibilities.
Work it. Own it. Live on the Drew Marshall Show. Our very good friend, Allegra Jordan.
You never come back to say good morning. I want to take my time and stay here. You light my heart on fire, keep it burning. Why do you still hide in the dark when the world is made for me and you? Sometimes I and they told me just close your eyes, it's closer than you think. So I cleared out my mind, forgot everything inside was slowly killing me. It opened me up to these possibilities. It's time to break this constant chain. Let you live in my mind. I don't wanna have to come down off this high. My eyes are open, arms are waiting for the day that finally meet with.
yours, but every night till then, I'll be coming back for more and more. But I still wonder how it all came to be. And they told me, just close your eyes, it's closer than you think. So I cleared out my mind, forgot everything inside, was slowly killing me. It opened me up to these possibilities. Ooh. It opened me up. It opened me up. Sometimes I wonder how this all came to be. And they told me, just close my eyes and let it come to me. I cleared out my mind, forgot everything inside was slowly killing me. It opened me up.
Does it again, Allegra Jordan. Well done, well done.
Thank you again.
A lot of Canadian musicians have a hard time with praise because as Canadians, we suck. We just have this weird thing inside of us, you know, and because we don't ever want to be accused of being an arrogant American. So we go, oh, shucks, golly gee, whatever, right? So how are you handling compliments and praise? Because if you've got to learn this now. You probably already have. Have you had any coaching on that kind of stuff? No, because I think you guys get a lot of musical, technical coaching. Mm-hmm. But when it comes to dealing with other humans, you don't want to end up like some of the whack jobs who are now in Betty Ford.
No, I'm pretty critical of myself, like more than anybody is critical of me. I'm just the one that's like, I'm always like, oh, I could have done that better. It could be like a perfect performance. I'm just like, that one note is just like anything. Right. I'm just very critical of myself. So when people compliment me, it's like, thank you, but like it could have been better.
Do you believe it?
I believe that it was like good for them listening to me. I'm like, okay, you know what? I did a good job, whatever, and they enjoyed it. Like, thank you for like listening and enjoying it. But then I'm like, yeah, no, I could have done that better.
I'm not.
So I take the compliments and I'm like, thank you. And then I'm just like, you know, could do better still.
Yeah.
There's always room to improve it.
The reason I bring this up is because I'm not real. Well, first of all, I don't get many compliments. But second of all, whenever somebody does say, oh, I listened to your show, I really enjoyed it, I immediately go into an awkward state. Like my internal commentary is.
You close up.
But my internal commentary is, you don't know what you're talking about. Like I sort of say that to the other person inside my head. I don't say it, actually. And I sort of shoot it down and go, if you only knew what kind of a nut job I am, you know. And so what I've learned to do is I will say a brief thanks, like a genuine thanks, and then I try to turn the conversation right back to them. So how did you find out about the concert? And what kind of music do you like? Whatever.
Makes it less awkward.
Yeah. And just because I think people – especially Canadians, also feel awkward about giving compliments. None of us want to be fanboy or girl, right? Yeah. We don't want to be, oh, my goodness. I should stop talking. The other thing I want to bring up was your range. There are so many girls that can sing in that falsetto thing, but they get scared to go down to the bottom end, and you
I
go
get
there.
Sometimes.
Yeah, but why?
I don't know. I really like the low end of my range sometimes. I have a lot of songs that I like my songs to end on like a note that like sits really, really well at like the bottom.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, it kind of like fades out really well. So I really like my low range, but I just get scared that like, because sometimes if you're singing higher and then you try to go low after, you're a little bit sharp on it.
Sure.
And so I always get nervous. Like at the start of the song, I'm like, okay, it's okay. I can hit these notes. And then later on, I'm just like, oh no, can I do it? Can I get back there?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like a trapeze act, right? You know, that high note, you're up there way high in the trapeze, and then you're going to go reach out for the next trapeze bar, which is that low range. And that in between when you've let go of the one. and you got, you know, all of a sudden you're it's like you're free falling.
Yeah. No, the trick is to think it's like lower or higher than it is, than the note actually is.
Oh yeah.
When you hit a high note, you want to think it's lower than it actually is, because if you're thinking like of like shooting right up there and hitting that note, you're gonna go right over it. Yeah. So you know you got to think like lower than it is and you'll get it. Huh. And then same with going down, you want to think it's a little bit higher than it is, because otherwise you're overestimating, like you're overthinking it.
Speaking of overthinking it, do you like boys?
What kind of a question is this? I'm a 17-year-old girl.
No, I don't know. Look, I just wanted to create an awkward moment, and I think I may have just done so.
I'm a 17-year-old girl. I'm in high school.
Have you ever had a boyfriend?
Yes. Yes.
Have you ever?
I can't write a love song without having a boyfriend.
No, you can.
I probably could, but I probably couldn't.
Because you talk about what you would like, and you dream about the right man, and, you know.
That's true.
Jamie from Outlander. Anybody? No? Okay.
So hunky.
He is hunky, isn't he, Tim?
He's got a great accent.
He's got a brilliant accent. What advice? Stop it.
Long pause.
No, because I'm just trying to delicately go somewhere here.
Yeah.
What advice do you give to guys who are listening right now that are your age that need to step up? How can... Because guys your age are known to be relationally dopey. Right? It's hard to know, to understand relationships when you, the only real relationship you've had is with some cyber creature in the video game you play all day. So what advice do you give to get to young guys your age?
That's a good question. I don't know. Just to be confident, but not overly confident, you know? I guess. Don't be afraid to kind of like, don't be afraid to like ask a girl and like talk to a girl. And you know what I mean? Just don't like get all weird and weird about it, but don't be like overconfident and like, think that you
cocky
like
and
cocky and think
arrogant.
That you that you can get whatever you want. It's like just be nice, be respectful, be confident in yourself, and like, because girls don't want guys who are like not confident, but we don't want guys who are like overly confident.
Exactly.
You know?
That's a tough act, like a balancing act.
Yeah. You know.
What do you think a guy would say if I was asking a guy your age right now to give advice to girls? What do you think a guy would say? I know we're generalizing like crazy
so
here,
confusing.
But I would imagine a guy would go, would you just be clear whether you like us or not?
Yeah, no, because guys think girls are like very...
Play games?
Yeah, we're not playing games. We just are confused sometimes. We're just honestly...
That's
we don't know
the
whether
best quote of the
we're
day.
We're not like trying to play games here. We just don't know if we like you or not sometimes.
Isn't that
sometimes
hilarious?
We do, sometimes we don't.
Yeah,
so, you
because sometimes you're a cocky, arrogant jerk.
Guys are like indecisive and like so back and forth sometimes, like especially at my age.
Guys are?
Guys are even more indecisive than
They're
girls.
They're worser than girls?
They are worse than girls in that way. From my experiences,
really?
They are more back and forth than girls. And just like be confident in what you want and like... And then girls will be confident in what they want. Because if you're so back and forth, then we're going to get so back and forth. And then it's just a whole game of, like, tag.
Totes.
Totes.
Can I get some kind of props from the kids in the room? I used one of your words. Don't use that word. No.
Nope.
Right. Totes ox.
Totes ox is what I was just told. Okay.
I'm 17 and I don't even say that.
Okay.
I would never.
Okay. I'm going to shut up again. Allegra Jordan. The website is Allegra Jordan, J-O-R-D-Y-N, AllegraJordan.com. What a pleasure. I'm actually going to be one of those creepers who track your career. Okay?
Okay.
Because I want to say I knew her when.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
When she was just on the Drew Marshall
show. Yeah. And 10 years from now, this interview is going to pop back up.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. And that camp
like,
video.
See, I knew her.
Yeah. But I want to watch that camp video, I'm saying.
Oh, I don't know.
Tim, are we got the next track queued up?
No, I don't. That horrible producer, engineer, person in general.
I like to throw Tim under the bus as much as humanly possible. While Tim is doing his job, I want to let you know what's coming up next. We're going to do a little tribute to Jean Vanier with Sister Sue Mosteller and Dr. Michael Wiggins. Of course, Jean Vanier passed away on May 7th. He was 90 years old. And Jean Vanier, I don't know, there's a guy, he's like the guy, he's like the dad everybody wanted, you know? He just looked at you and went, okay, I see you. Even with your weird stuff, I see you, and it's okay. He was a phenomenal human being, and a tribute to Jean Vanier when we come back from our very short commercial break. But have a listen. to Allegra Jordan, another track off her CD, which is in my hand, Possibilities, Allegra Jordan. If you want a copy of this CD, you want to reach out to us on our Facebook page. The Drew Marshall is, what is it, at the Drew Marshall, I think? I don't know. I don't even know the name of my Facebook page. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
I'm like a lighthouse to you, I'm standing tall in the dark if you ever need help. Oh, but I'm so alone, 'cause you just swim around.